As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. Purport. Unless all of the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, even one of them engaged in sense gratification can deviate the devotee from the path of transcendental advancement. As mentioned in the life of Maharaj Amrish, all of the senses must be engaged in Krishna consciousness, for that is the correct technique for controlling the mind. Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namah. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shambhavadi Paschatya Veshatana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the scriptures, many different definitions are given of the mind. Of course, we live with the mind every single day, so we already have a pretty good idea of what the mind is like. Even in the English language, they say, my mind is driving me crazy. In the Niti Shastra, a very interesting example is given to help you understand the mind. Markatasya surapanam tatra vrishchika damsanam tanmadye bhuta samcharo yadva tadva bhavishyati. This is how the Niti Shastra explains the mind. Maritatasya, a monkey. Have you ever seen a monkey? In India you see plenty, in Vrindavan you see many, in Govardhan you'll see more than you can imagine. So many monkeys, and you don't know what a monkey is going to do next, isn't it? They're very unpredictable, they could steal your glasses, they could do anything. So the Niti Shastra said, imagine a monkey. Not just that. Markatasya surapanam. Now imagine a monkey that's completely intoxicated. Not just that. Tatra vrishchika damsanam. Now imagine a monkey that's completely intoxicated, that's been bitten by a scorpion. Not just that. Tanmadhye bhuta samchalo. Now imagine a monkey that's completely intoxicated, that's been bitten by a scorpion and haunted by a ghost. Yadva tadva bhavishyati. Who can predict what such a monkey will do next? Completely unpredictable. So the Niti Shastra says the mind is just like this. A drunk monkey that's been bitten by a scorpion and haunted by a ghost. Completely unpredictable. You can have the best morning program in the world, and then you can go outside this door and your mind can come up with something crazy. Once I was on the London Underground train subway, and it was rush hour, so the escalators go all the way down, so it was a packed hundreds of people on the escalator. And as I got on, in my mind a thought came. What would happen if I pushed the person in front of me? And I thought, my God, how can I think something like that? I'm a devotee. I'm supposed to be a devotee. That's the nature of the mind. The mind just comes up with so many things. So here, what is being explained is that the mind is so erratic, and then the senses, the eyes, the ears, the touch, the smell, all of these senses, they're bringing in different inputs. And if the mind focuses on one of them in sense gratification, it can lead to the destruction of your spiritual life. Therefore, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving the example of Ambarish. Ambarish engaged all of his senses. How did Ambarish engage his mind? Anyone? Savai Mana Krishna Padaravinda Yoga. His mind was engaged in thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. How did he engage his words? In glorifying Krishna. Vachamshi Vaikuntha Gunanuvarnane. He was explaining to people the glories of Krishna. How did he use his hands? In cleaning the temple. Karo Hare Mandira Marjana Disu. And what did he do with his ears? Hear all about Krishna. Shudim Chakarachuta Satkato Daye. What did he do with his eyes?
Watch the detail.
Mukunda Lingale Darshane Grisho, who is looking at the form of Mukunda. And what did he do with his touch? Or contact?
Touch the deity. Touch the
devotees. He embraced the devotees. Kadritya Gatra Sparshenga Sangamam. He embraced the devotees. What did he do with his legs?
Go to the holy places.
He went to the holy places. Pado, Hare, Kshetra. And what did he do with his tongue?
Taste Krishna.
Tulsi.
More specifically, Tulsi. Srimat Tulasya Rasanam Tadarpite. Amazing. All of his senses used in the service of Krishna. So the senses are imperfect, isn't it? What are the four defects of a conditioned soul? Imperfect senses, tendency to be illusion, tendency to make mistakes, and tendency to cheat. But one teacher, he says there is a progression here. Because we have imperfect senses, we have the tendency to be illusion. Because we have the tendency to be illusion, we have the tendency to make mistakes. And because we make mistakes, we end up cheating to cover up the mistakes. So it all stems from the fact that we have imperfect senses. So we are vulnerable because our senses can always take us in the wrong direction. In the Ramayana, there are two main places, isn't it? Ayodhya and Lanka. Ayodhya is said to be the place of Ram and Dasarath. Ayodhya is the spiritual world, but Lanka is the place of Ravan, and that's said to be the material world. So it's interesting, the Lord of Ayodhya is Dasarath. And the Lord of Lanka is Ravan, but Ravan is also known as Dasamukh, the one who has 10 heads, 10 faces. So the commentators, the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, they say Dasarath means one who is able to drive the chariot in 10 directions. He was such a fast, amazing chariot driver, Dasarath. He could drive his chariot anywhere. But they say Dasarath also means one who can control the 10 senses. One who can control. Because there are 5 knowledge-acquiring senses and there are 5 working senses. So, Dasarath also means one who can control the 10 senses. But Dasamukh means one who has 10 heads, but it also means one whose 10 senses are outside of his control. And therefore, Because in Ayodhya, the 10 senses are completely under control. Ayodhya is the spiritual world. But because in Lanka, the 10 senses are completely out of control, Lanka is the material world. So what is the difference between the material world and the spiritual world? Whether one is able to control their mind and senses. The moment one loses control of the mind and senses, one can understand there will be chaos. So here, Krishna is saying that you have to be very careful on the 5 senses. What are the 5 senses? Touch, smell, sight, hearing, and
taste.
Yeah. Now let's do a little quiz. Let's take each one of these and see an example of how it led to perfection and how it also led to downfall. So let's take the first one, touch. Can you think of an example in Shastra where just from touch someone achieved perfection? Yes?
The dog is Lord Chaitanya touched.
The Shivananda Sen's dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was feeding him like that, right? I don't know if he touched him. He was feeding him definitely like that. Good try.
In Bhagavatam, there was, I think it was Dhruva, who was described as being so young that he couldn't really glorify the Lord.
You got the touch of the conch shell?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. Lord. Yeah, that's nice. Good example. The one I was thinking of is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going into ecstasy. And then one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw the ocean at Jagannath Puri, and he jumped into the ocean feeling it to be the Yamuna, and he went into ecstasy. And who came to that ocean? A fisherman. So he was fishing. And somehow he caught Mahaprabhu in his net and he touched the body of Mahaprabhu. And as soon as he touched the body of Mahaprabhu, what happened? He went mad. Mm-hmm. And then later on the devotees were looking for Mahaprabhu, and then they came across this fisherman. And he said, I've been haunted. I've touched this dead body and I've become haunted. And then Saradamada gave him a slap. And he said, you haven't been haunted, you've been infected with transcendental prema just because of touching the body of the Lord. So touch can lead to perfection, but touch can also lead to material desire. Can you think of someone who was physically touched in a certain way and that led to material desire? What happened when the young boy Dhruva wanted to sit on the lap of his father? Then he tried to climb up, isn't it? But his father pushed him off. And just because of that, he decided, oh no, he became so angry, and then he developed a material desire to have a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. So you see, it can work both ways. What about taste? Can you think of someone in Shastra who attained perfection through taste?
Kumaras.
Kumaras, was it taste? Or was that?
Smell.
Coming to that one. Yes?
This Kalidas in Tirthamaliwa who wanted to feed all the Vaisnavas and eat their remnants.
Yes. There was one great devotee, his name was Kalidas, and he was always looking to eat the remnants of the devotees. He said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakta Pada Duli or Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha Tina Mahamal. There are 3 very powerful substances in this world. Bhakta Pada Duli, the dust from the lotus feet. Bhakta Pada Jal, the water which is wash the feet of a devotee, bhakta bhukta avashesha, and the Mahaprasad remnants. So Kalidas, he was seeing there was a great devotee, Jaru Thakur, and he had some mangoes, and then he threw the mango, and you know, always on the mango there is something left there. So then he went and he got the mango. So yes, even this morning we were hearing about Narad Muni, isn't it? He ate the remnants of who? The Bhaktivedantas, and he became Narad Muni. But now, can you think of someone whose taste led to their downfall?
Those who ate from
Duryodhana's
kitchen.
Very good. At the end of the Kurukshetra war, Yudhisthira went to Bhishma and started asking advice. Yudhisthira was there, the Krishna was there, the Pandavas were there, Draupadi was there. And Bhishma started coming out with all this amazing wisdom. So they were hearing all this amazing wisdom. And then you know what? Draupadi looked at Bhishma and she said, now you're coming out with all of this wisdom? Where was all of this wisdom when I was being disrobed in the gambling arena? Why didn't the wisdom come out at that time? And you know what Bhishma then said? He said, I was eating grains in the home of Duryodhana. And therefore my blood had become contaminated. But now I'm sitting on the bed of arrows and all that blood has been drained from my body. And therefore at that time my consciousness was contaminated. But now the blood is drained from my body, I am speaking on this. Interesting. Whatever you eat, it's amazing. It has an effect on consciousness. What about hearing? So many examples of devotees who achieve perfection through hearing, isn't it? Parikshit, so many. But can you think of someone whose hearing led to their downfall or was going to lead to their downfall? Yeah, good one, good one. Vishwamitra Muni, he heard the ankle bells of Menaka. So that's a good example. Another example is one day Mahaprabhu was at Yameshwara, and then from the Jagannath temple he heard a beautiful singing. And as soon as he heard that singing, he began running. And then Govinda caught hold of him and said, no, no, that is one of the ladies singing. And Mahaprabhu said, oh, you've saved me as a sannyasi to run like that. So like that, the sound can also lead to one's compromise. Sound, sight. Who attained perfection through sight? Seeing. Can you think? Of course, there are many examples. Actually, in the Puranas, it's said that if someone sees Jagannath, if someone sees Jagannath on the Rath Yatra cart, then at the time of death, when all the images of their life are going through their consciousness, when it comes to that picture of Jagannath on the cart, it will stop there. And then you leave your body. That's how much of a strong impression seeing Jagannath has on the consciousness of someone. But then what is the story of someone whose sight led to their downfall? Ajamiya. What happened? He was in a forest one day, and in the seclusion he saw a sight. A sight that Prabhupada says in the purport, this sight that Ajamiya saw, in the Western countries you basically see it at every moment. Everywhere you go. Ajamil saw that very agitating sight, and immediately everything. Sita Devi saw, what did she see? A golden deer, and she became attracted. Oh, I want that golden deer, not knowing that it was Marichi. And then Ram went to catch that deer deep into the forest, and then Ravan came and caught her. So the eyes can also. And smell. What is the example of devotees who attain perfection through smell? Kumaras. Kumaras were impersonalists, but simply by smelling the flowers smelling the tulsi that were at the lotus feet of the Lord, they became converted. And how can smell lead to your downfall? Any idea? There's a story in the ninth canto of someone called Pururava, who smelt the body of the heavenly damsel Urvashi. And simply by the fragrance of her body, his mind became overwhelmed with thoughts of sense gratification. That's the power of smell. It's amazing how one of the senses is amazing. Just smell. The fragrance. How much it can trigger. So here Krishna is saying that every single sense must be absorbed in Krishna. Of all the senses, which one is the most powerful?
Hearing, tongue.
There's arguments for both. Prabhupada actually says hearing is the most powerful sense, because even while you're sleeping, your hearing is still active. Have you noticed? You can be in front of someone sleeping and you can do like all kinds of things, but they won't wake up. But if you make one small sound, they'll wake up. Some people don't. So Prabhupada says hearing protects even the sleeping person. So sometimes Prabhupada says that, but generally we hear the tongue. Dāle madhye jivāyati lobhamoy sudurmati. Among all the senses, the jiva, the tongue, is the most powerful because this ati-lobha is extremely greedy. And if you don't believe me, go in front of the mirror when no one's around, and just open your mouth and just pull your tongue out and look at it, and you'll see how agitated it is. The tongue can never stay still. Mm-hmm. It's extremely agitated. But Krishna Bharadoya Moy, Krishna is so kind. Gauri Bhada Jiva Jai, that he gives you a way to conquer your tongue. Swaprasada Nodiva Bhai, just take prasad. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to quote this verse. This was one of his most quoted verses. Adashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriye Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Svayam Eva Spurakyada. He says, you cannot perceive Krishna with these blunt material senses. But when you engage Sevan Mukhe Hijivado, when you engage your tongue in taking prasad and hearing and chanting about Krishna, then all your senses become spiritualized. So this is basically the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, is basically to give people an opportunity to engage all of their senses in Krishna's service. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. As soon as the senses are unengaged, there is a great chance that they will lead us astray. And so one time they asked Prabhupada, like, but Prabhupada, you have no lust. And then Prabhupada was quiet, and then some moments later he said, I have no time for lust. I have no time for lust. So in our life, it's not that we will just overcome lust. But what we can do is arrange our life in such a way that we don't have any time for lust. That is the heart of Krishna consciousness. They asked Jayananda Prabhu, the famous Jayananda Prabhu from Prabhupada's times, how did you make so much spiritual advancement? And he said, I don't know, I don't have any time to think about it. I'm busy all day doing service. So that was an interesting answer. That somehow or other, who is able to remain engaged? You see, that is a wise person who is able to arrange their life in such a way that they will always remember Krishna. And I'll end by actually reading this purport, because this is the concluding purport of the Gita. And this is what Prabhupada says in the purport of 1865. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. So that is the art, that somehow or other one must remain very busy for Krishna. Brahmananda Prabhu, when he was serving Srila Prabhupada, and one time he was with Prabhupada from the morning till the evening. Prabhupada got up very early in the morning, he was with him, Prabhupada was translating, then Prabhupada chanted, then Prabhupada met some devotees, then Prabhupada gave the class, then Prabhupada went traveling to meet some VIP, then he came back to the temple, he was discussing management with the devotees, then Prabhupada was doing translation work, then he went again for the evening program to give another class, then they went out to meet another VIP, and then Brahmananda Prabhu was coming back with Prabhupada late at night, in the car, after a whole day of Krishna consciousness. And for those of you who know, Brahmananda Prabhu is, you know, as they would say in India, healthy. It's like, he's big. And he was sitting on the back seat with Prabhupada, and gradually Prabhupada began to fall asleep like this. And then finally Prabhupada fell asleep right into his lap. So he was on the back seat of the car, and Prabhupada was right there, just sleeping in his lap. And he looked at Prabhupada and he realized in that moment that Prabhupada gave every last bit of energy to share Krishna consciousness with others. He didn't hold anything back. He just gave everything. And Brahmananda Prabhu realized this is the perfection. Where one gives, manasa deho geho yogi chumor alpila tuve pad enanda kishor, my mind, my body, my wealth, my possession, everything is for you, Krishna. And then he realized this is pure devotion in action, to not hold anything back. So this is the life that we're trying to create for ourselves. A life in which somehow or other everything connects to Krishna. And that is pure devotional service. And Krishna says that if you do that, then surely you will come to me. Okay, so maybe I'll stop here and see whether anyone has any comments, questions, or if you have any reflection that you would like to share.
first, because the mind and the senses are connected. So if the senses are engaged, then the mind will also be engaged. But if the mind is engaged, then also the senses.
Yeah, it's a good question. In Krishna consciousness, actually, we're trying to act on all levels. In the Gita, Krishna says lust has three sitting places: the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. So lust is sitting in all three of those places. And therefore, what the devotee does is they engage their senses, they purify their mind, and they strengthen their intelligence. You work on all levels. You strengthen the intelligence through Shastra, you purify the mind through chanting, and you engage the senses in service. And that's why if someone is only studying Shastra but not chanting and serving, then there's a good chance, isn't it? Bhagavatam says, Vidvamsam apikarshati. Even if you are very learned, you can become bewildered. So we don't just study. Also, we don't just chant, we also strengthen the intelligence through Shastra. And we don't just do service, but we ensure that there is also sadhana going on. So you see that devotees become weak in their spiritual life when these three things are not balanced. There must be strengthening of the intelligence, there must be purification of the mind, and there must be engagement of the senses. The moment any one of those things is neglected, you can understand that, okay, now a devotee is opening themselves up for an attack from Maya. Because Maya is basically looking, where can I attack? So Maya will attack in the place that you're most inattentive in. Yeah. So, both. Engage the senses, purify the mind, strengthen the intelligence. Okay. Any other questions? No? Okay, so I think we'll end there.